Mini episode 421 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by DOU Productions, delivering coverage of sports and pop culture through columns, live blogs, and original videos. Follow them on the web at generationshatter.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 421 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the FDH Lounge preview of Mad Men episode 7.6, which is called The Strategy. This season we'll be listing the top five themes of the previous week's episode to examine how they're driving the characters into the end game of the series. Here's the top five themes from episode 7.5 moving into this week. Number five, Ginsburg's nipple. Okay, maybe that isn't a theme per se, but it's worthy of its own designation. On a show that has traveled through the 60s and delivered many shocking moments, from Guy's foot amputation by drunken secretary-wielding lawnmower to Roger's first acid trip to Don's faux murder of a mistress, Michael Ginsburg's proffered nipple in a box has to rank way up there. He's somebody who's teetered on the line of genius and madness almost all the way through his Sterling Cooper tenure, and the brand new agency computer has pushed him over the edge. Now, as the first member of the creative team to bite the dust since the computer literally and figuratively displaced them, he leaves behind an agency that now needs Don Draper much more than they ever thought they would again. Number four, even as a sword-fighting idiot, Sally is still more of an adult than Betty. The confrontation between mother and daughter left Betty sputtering threats of arm breaking while Sally was cool and composed. Give Sally a ton of credit. She figured out that rebelling against the necessity of perfect looks would push her mom's buttons better than anything else in life. And of course, Betty took the bait. Earlier in the episode, it was somewhat amusing that Betty's entire history of being a biatch, and even her fat period where she no longer was a trophy wife, never seemed to affect Henry nearly as much as her offering up her own opinion on Vietnam in a campaign function. As always, what a perfect way for the show to deliver its perspective on the upside-down 60s. Betty offers up a take that is unfeeling about the young men who actually fight wars, and so she seems unsympathetic, but she is dismissed primarily for being a woman rather than on the merits of her point. Almost all the way through the 1960s, Betty is finally beginning to feel the tug of wanting something more in her life than being the trophy wife. Someone whose storylines have always been far less interesting than anything happening at Sterling Cooper, maybe Betty's final arc is finally going to grab our attention. Number three, Stephanie's reappearance underlines yet again how much Don misses the uncomplicated and unconditional love of Anna. As the only remaining tie to the only successful maternal figure that Don slash Dick ever had, Stephanie is near and dear to the heart of the show's protagonist, and he greeted the chance to see her again eagerly. Unfortunately, with a-hole Lou detaining him at the office, a radiant Stephanie's familiarity with Don caused Megan to mark her territory and pay her off to leave before Don could arrive. One of the hallmarks of this show is the missed connection, perhaps most famously in the episode The Suitcase, which is also ironically the one where Anna passed away. It's sad that Don did not get the chance to see his quote-unquote niece, but it's possible that she had something to do with the newly found inspiration that he flashed at the end of the episode. Number two, Megan's idea of makeup sex is a three-way. If the show does nothing else ever again to portray her as the idealized progressive 60s wife, that right there should do it. It's a little jarring to go from hearing her say this is how it ends the previous week to using her hot friend to keep Don interested the next, but it's clear that her declaration of independence from her older caveman of a husband was a complete bluff. Unfortunately for both of them, though, the transparent notion that Megan can't bear to lose her man, lack of fundamental compatibility or not, suggests that their shaky reunion may not be wise and may not be long for this world. Number one, Don strikes back against Cutler's evil alliance with the help of Harry Crane, of all people. Don blatantly violated the terms of his return by crashing the cigarette meeting, but his job in stock seems safe for the time being with Ginsburg's psychological demise and the intrigue from the cancer stick growers. Jim Cutler's taunt about Don thinking that he saved himself with that ploy underscored the obvious. He's terrified that the old alpha male Don Draper is back. The irony is that the greedy, grasping Cutler shed crocodile tears about Don's behavior in the first 6 months of the merged firm last season as he was building the pretext to sideline him. And this season, he's been completely against letting Don back in all the way. More concerned that the master of Madison Avenue might stop his power grab than he is about Don delivering greater prosperity to the company. Cutler's agenda will only become more transparent now that the battle is joined, because if Don is successful in wooing the tobacco company, he will restore his own place as the firm's indispensable man, while thwarting Cutler's ambitions for a lengthy period at least. Don Draper's most thrilling moments on the program have always come when he has swung from the heels, and this time, armed with his inside information, he took a mighty stroke indeed. In the year of the Miracle Mets, whether the would-be home run ball can clear the fence or not, Don's ploy has reset the playing field with the midseason finale approaching. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.